first Sunday of the new year. Well, it also happens to be the 25th anniversary of Calvary Chapel coming into existence. It was on Thursday, January 5th, 1995, that we held our first Bible study in our home at 234 Aristocrat Drive up in the Heights. Great, great time. It was 26 years ago in February, the end of February, that Jeannie and I packed up our U-Haul truck. We were living in White Rock, British Columbia at the time, pastoring a Calvary Chapel in White Rock, and had been there for about 2.5 years of ministry there in Canada. Jeannie is originally from Wolf Point. I'm originally from Yakima, Washington. But that's another story about how we essentially got there. It was just the Lord leading us and bringing us into a relationship and fellowship within the Calvary movement. I was saved when I was 13 years old in an Assembly of God youth camp at a place called Mountain Air Camp. It was a Methodist church camp, and that's where we held our annual youth camp. And it was there at that camp that I first became a Christian. And that night, I can tell you, it was like heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When I knew that I knew that I knew, I was saved. Praise the Lord. It can be real to any of us at any age. Amen? So all my Christian life, before going to Canada to pastor that Calvary Chapel, I had been with the Assemblies of God, ministered there, went to church as a teenager, went to an Assembly of God Bible college where I met Jeannie and fell in love with her. That's another story, another chapter that I don't have time to go into. It was really cool. At any rate, I'm blessed because of that. So when we went to White Rock as to pastor this Calvary Chapel, my credentials were with the Assemblies of God. I was not an ordained Calvary Chapel guy, but they took me anyway. Wonderful thing how the Lord got us there. So I retained my credentials for about a year. And after the first year, I came to the realization I was home. I went to my first Calvary Chapel pastors conference at Big Calvary in Costa Mesa, and just came to the realization there, this is my family. There are guys there that believed like I did, who lived, you know, that whole thing. I had been teaching verse by verse from early pastorate days in a place called Lebanon, Oregon, in a traditional Assembly of God church, and managed in 6 months to empty it because I wasn't, you know, the typical kind of, and I don't speak disparagingly of the Assemblies. I am very, very grateful for my heritage, grateful for the latitude that they granted me as an Assembly of God pastor to move in the direction that I believe God was calling me to move. It just wasn't typical, and found out a few years later that it was more typical of a Calvary Chapel than it was of an Assembly of God church, which was a huge blessing to me. I remember that first conference. I sat there, and there were like 17 speakers that conference over a three-day period. And virtually every one of those guys that I knew nothing of, didn't know them from anybody, they got up to the pulpit when it was their turn to speak, and they said, "Let's open our Bibles to..." And every one of them went through a passage of Scripture verse by verse. And that really had blessed me because I had been doing that, as I said, in that first church, and emptied the thing. A friend of mine said, I said, where do I go? He said, well, you know, Ephesians is a good book. It's a book about the church. So, oh, cool, I'll start there. A year later, year plus later, after many had left, I was still preaching through Ephesians, but it was a wonderful experience, and that's where I became acquainted with expositional verse-by-verse teaching. So that was really a huge blessing to me. And so I was hooked. I knew I was a Calvary Chapel guy from then on, and thankful for that. So I had begun, when we pastored in Lebanon, listening to Pastor Chuck. And my only knowledge of him before that was we had had a video
that Pastor Chuck had done on the end times. You know, in the early days of Calvary Chapel, everybody was preaching about the second coming of Christ. I mean, it was a big thing. You know, there was that whole Jesus movement in the late 60s and early, all through the 70s and 80s, where that was a primary emphasis in the Calvary movement. And not just the Calvary's, it was everywhere. We were talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember going to a pastor's meeting in the mid-70s before I became a Calvary Chapel. And Billy Graham Association, their movie arm was called Worldwide Pictures. And I remember the guy standing up and saying, "We believe here at Worldwide Pictures, this is probably the last movie we will ever make." There was just that strong belief in imminence that the Lord could come back anytime. Well, he hasn't, but we're just that much closer. Praise God. Amen. So, anyway, back to how we got here. Before we left White Rock, we knew, as I said, we weren't going to go back to the Assemblies of God. And I'd always had a desire in my heart to plant a church. Had never been a part of a planting of a church, but really felt very strongly that's what the Lord wanted us to do at some point. And this seemed to be the great opportunity for us. So we actually wound up closing that church, and that's another chapter altogether. I won't go into that, but the Lord was in that too, brought us there for that purpose. And I wasn't at the time very grateful for that. Being in the will of God sometimes is not the fun place to be, right? I mean, there are trials, there are difficulties, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so we were praying about where to go. And Jeannie said, "You know, I would like to be near my parents. They're getting up in years, and we've never been near them. We had always pastored on the west side of the Cascades in Washington and Oregon, and they had retired and moved to Billings." And so we looked in the Calvary Chapel directory, and lo and behold, there was no Calvary Chapel in Billings. So I said, "Well, I'll just go and spend a week with your parents and drive around, walk around the city, and pray and ask the Lord what we're supposed to do." So after a week of doing that, I flew back to White Rock, and our deduction was this. You know, we're great spiritual people and all these kinds of things, and we deduced, I have a call of a pastor on my life. I want to be in Calvary Chapel. There's no Calvary Chapel in Billings. My wife wants to go there. Let's go. So we did. We looked like the Beverly Hillbillies leaving Canada. we were packed up, headed out, going to Billings, Montana. At any rate, so we did, and that was 26 years ago. Next month, at the end of February, we moved here and to Billings and began that. So that begins the next chapter and how we got here. Our intent, as I said, was to come here and to plant a church. And so I had spoken to Mike Duran, who was at that time the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Bozeman, letting him know of our intent so we could make contact not only with him, but maybe the other three Calvary Chapels that were in Montana at that time. So in May of 1994, after we moved here, we knew of five people, actually only two of whom we had actually met. And so we met in the home of that couple for a month to start a Bible study with the purpose in mind of starting a Calvary Chapel. One of the things that I realized after about 2 weeks into that was I really hadn't had enough time to, for lack of a better word, to heal. It was a rough time in Canada. I'm not going to go into that, just to say it tried us deeply, but God was in it. We know we were in the will of God. We know what we did was the will of God, but that doesn't mean it was always easy. So found out that I needed some time just to kind of reevaluate my call, who I was, all those kinds of things. I applied for and got a job at Kinko's. How many remember Kinko's? What's that? Well, it got its name, Kinko's, from the guy who was the originator of this copy place. You now know it as FedEx copy office, FedEx office. They have their, you know, not only shipping, but they make copies there. Well, that was all Kinko's did, and it got its name because the guy who started it had really kinky hair. And they called him they called it Kinko's because he was the founder. Started a little copy shop in Southern California, grew into this huge, huge copy business. And I got a job working there, and it was a good job. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, that October of 1994, I turned 50, and I thought, prayed, "Lord, what are we doing here? I've got a good job with a really good opportunity advancing, with a good salary, benefits, retirement, which I thought, you know, might be good for my family, all those kinds of things. And so we were praying very much about that. In October, late October, first part of November of 94. You know, if you have a call of God on your life, it just doesn't go away. I was just fine working and had a good job, loved where I worked. It was really a fun place to work, all those kinds of things. I was kind of the old guy there, but that was okay. I liked being around all those mushheads that needed something to put in there, you know. And so, anyway, but the Spirit of God began to just churn in my heart, and the call became more and more important in my heart. So we set aside the first 2 weeks of November to pray and ask the Lord what we were supposed to do. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. He says in Jeremiah, in the day you seek me with your whole heart, I will be found of you. He's faithful to do that. So we're praying. So I am calling on a client on that day. I think it might have been a Thursday. I don't remember the day for sure. And, you know, this prayer is on my heart. I'm praying as I'm traveling around doing my calls and all that kind of stuff all the time. And so I just called on this guy up in the Heights and walked out of his place of business, got in my car, and I'm praying. And I thought, Lord, what are you doing? And I turned on the radio. And there's a song that was popular at that time. I had my radio station turned to KURL. It was the only Christian station in town at that time. Anyway, and there was this song playing, People Need the Lord. And I just melted my heart. So I realized, again, the call of God was that he had called me to be a pastor and that people need the Lord. So that was really cool. So I'm, you know, kind of driving away through my tears and off to do my stuff the rest of the day. And came time to leave, and I was driving home, and I remember very specifically, I was praying, and it was just about by the Baptist church on Babcock in the Heights. I just prayed, and I said, again, remember, I'm 50 years old, thinking about retirement, possibly, and family, and taking care of my kids, because we had Clay and Clarissa at that time. Lisa and Cliff had already left the nest, and so here we were praying about that. And so I just said, Lord, are you through with me? And I reached over and turned the radio on, and Max Lucado was on again. So if you've heard this, when that was recorded, we have no idea. It's a tape that they got from his ministry and plug it in and play it. And right at the moment that I turned the radio on, Max Lucado said, God, I feel God is impressing me to tell someone out there, God is not through with you. Well, I almost wrecked. How many of you understand? That's a pretty specific answer. I'm not through with you. And so I don't remember the next 3 or 4 minutes that it took me to get home. I was just a blur. I didn't hear another word that he said. I pulled up into my driveway, stopped the car, and I'm just kind of sitting there taking it all in. And all of a sudden, I kind of tuned back into he's still talking. And he said, I really feel impressed again to tell someone out there, God is not through with you yet. Mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, let every matter be established. That's 2. I'll take it. So I'm just kind of blubbering, and I go into the house. And Jeannie is just coming around the door from the kitchen, and I said, you won't believe what just happened. And she said, you won't believe what just happened. I said, okay, you go first. She said, I just hung up the phone with some people from Missoula. They attend the Calvary in Missoula, and they've been offered a job in Billings with this company that they were working for, a telecommunications company. And they had purposed that they would never take a job any place, any town, where there was not a Calvary Chapel. And they called, having talked to Mike Duran and Bozeman, who knew that we were thinking about doing that, and called us to say, are you starting a Calvary Chapel? And I said, well, I guess so. So that was in November of 94. And on January the 5th, 1995, in our home, we had our first Bible study. I knew by faith, I had talked to 5 different people, but I'd only met just this one couple. And we had, that night, we had 12 adults show up and about a dozen kids, all of whom, except for those couple, that one couple and one of the guys that I had ever met before. And there they were. And you know, that was a third witness, because Jeannie said, you know, this has happened. Are you going to start it? And then the next witness to us that we were headed the right direction was the first people through the door was this couple from Bozeman who had now taken the job here in Billings. And she, Pam was her name, she walked in the door, and the first thing she said to me, didn't say hello, glad to be here, anything like that. She walked in the door and said, "Where's the love box?" For those of you who are new, that's the offering box that is at the back. And much to my surprise, I was not expecting that, and I didn't have a love box. But I tell you what, I quickly found a basket to put by the front door. And so, you know, amazingly, that night, first Bible study that we had, without knowing us or anything about us, just that we were there to start a Calvary Chapel, we had over $500 in that little basket by the end of the night. Isn't that amazing? God is faithful to confirm His Word. So I'm just so thankful for that. So we began that Bible study, and because of the people that were coming, I began to start looking for a place for us to meet. I was checking out buildings everywhere. A lot of good buildings, but most of the commercial buildings, which is typical for Calvary Chapels when they start as a building of some kind. And looked at all of them, and the main problem with most commercial buildings is that they don't have adequate parking. They don't have big parking lots. And so, I just was struggling with all that. And then I thought, on my way to work at Kinko's every day, I drove by North Park Gymnasium. I didn't realize it was a gymnasium at the time. I thought it was like an electrical outpost station, you know, where they didn't realize it was a gym. Really observant too, so I didn't know what it was. So I thought, you know, well, there's that school across the street from that electrical station, and so I called this, because the Head Start was using it, and they only use it Monday through Friday. And I thought maybe they'd be willing to lease it to us, sublease it to us on Sundays, because that's all we were going to need it for. So I called, talked to the lady, who happened to be a Christian. And told her who I was, what we're doing, and she said, "Oh boy, I'm really, really sorry. I know this would be a great place for you, but we are leasing this, and our contract will not allow us to sublease to anyone else. But have you looked at the gymnasium across the street from us? That's a gymnasium." No, I hadn't. So I immediately got in the car, headed down there after work, and looked all around the building, tried to get in, the door's locked, you know, bummer. So I turned the corner and started to walk back across to the parking lot to my car, and here's a guy walking at me. And I'm really perceptive. He's got a sweatsuit on, a whistle around his neck, a clipboard in one hand, and a basketball under his arm. I said, "I bet that guy's going into this gym." And he was. Guess what? He's also a Christian. And so he let me in, showed me around the gym, and I just said, "Man, this is going to be perfect for us." He said, I happen to know the Parks and Recreation Director. His name is such and such. And here's his phone number. So I, you know, this is, you know, prior cell phone stuff. You know, you had to go, how many remember landlines? So at any rate, I had to go back to my office and call, and it's almost 5:00, and I called the Parks and Recreation, the number that he gave me, the guy, I don't remember his name, he was just closing the door. It was that's on a Friday, to leave for the weekend. And he heard the phone ring, went back in and answered it. And there I was, asking about that. And he said, "Yeah, it's free right now. We'd be glad to open it up for you and let you lease it. Charge us a whopping $225 a month, which we could afford." Because by that time, after the months that we'd been there, we had enough money at that time to buy our sound system, and we easily could pay $225 a month. So isn't that great how God does stuff? And I'm just telling you all of this because I want you to have a sense of the history that we have here after 25 years of what God has done. And as I thought about that, I this verse came to mind in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, where it says this: "For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." As I look back and think about all the stuff, why are you here today? Because you love God's Word. You love what we do at Calvary Chapel, which is pretty indicative of most every Calvary Chapel on the face of the earth. There's worship and the Word. how some of that takes place, but, you know, verse by verse, contemporary worship, mixing in hymns as we did today, all that kind of stuff. And so that's the thing that came to my mind as I thought about that. That's the foundation for us as a church body. I'm thankful that you have received the Word of God, which we have taught, which we all agree is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Amen? So we started meeting there on March the 5th, 1995. That was our first Sunday. And that was incredible, too, because I put an advertisement in the paper, one column wide, about 2 inches, 2.5 inches long, saying, this is on March the 4th, church page, Calvary Chapel is starting in Billings, Montana. We're meeting at North Park Gymnasium at 10 a.m. We are Calvary Chapel, associated with Pastor Chuck Smith and Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. And that's all I put. Didn't know what was going to happen. Went that morning and set up about, you know, the great man of faith that I was, set up about 40 chairs. The people started coming in. We had to set up more chairs because we had about 50 people show up the first morning. Didn't know anybody except, well, the 25 or so that had been coming. An interesting story that happened. One of the couples that were coming made a bumper sticker, put it on, and it said, "Follow me to Calvary Chapel." Somebody literally followed them for 5 miles until they pulled into a convenience store and stopped them and said, "Is there a Calvary Chapel in Billings?" "Yeah." And so they told them, and they started coming. Isn't that? This is, God does great and wonderful things. Amen? So that moves us to the next chapter. And that's, I call it the Showroom Auto Body Miracle. How many of you are familiar with Remember Showroom Auto Body down on First Avenue North? It was a body shop. One end of the building was occupied by Showroom Auto Body. Linda, the owner, manager of that, was there, had been there for many years, and was now, they were occupying that. So anyway, I drove by there one day, and I noticed that there was some construction going on. There were trucks, you know, hauling stuff out and stuff like that. And so I wondered, man, what that's like. And so I went, oh, man, this would be perfect. So I asked somebody that was there, is this available? And they said, oh, no, it's just been leased. There are some people who wanted to start a teenage non-alcoholic nightclub to help service the young people in our community. Well, can't fault that. That's a good idea. The only problem was there was no alcohol inside. But the parking lot was a different story. There was lots of it out there. And in about 2 months, that place was trashed. It was, not a knock on kids. It's just what happens, you know. So they canceled their lease. And I happened to drive by again as they were cleaning that place out. And I thought, aha, it didn't work. So I ran in there real quick, talked to the man that was sitting there that was in charge of that. I said, is this place not available now? He said, oh, no, just last week somebody leased it. I was really bummed. Now, this is not the end of our 2 years. I'm doing this all the time throughout this 2 years, trying to find these places and all that kind of stuff. So, at any rate, so I was kind of bummed out that. Kept looking, and found out that a man, some of you will remember who have been in Billings a long time, remember Tony Woolery. How many of you remember Tony Woolery? Used car salesman. Tony had leased that and had put about $25,000 into that place to clean it up and get it all ready for his showroom auto body, or not his showroom auto body, for his car dealership. Used cars all around, really nice inside. I found out later he had spent about $25,000 doing that. So, anyways, that was really nice. So I'm driving, this is months later, I'm driving, coming down about King Avenue, you know, where Texas Roadhouse and all that is, and there's that big white building that is now the Kia automobile dealership. Saw it, and there was a big sign, red and white sign, that said, "For lease." I went, and it's snow, it's winter when I'm doing this. I marched around that building in the snow, determined there was about 10,000 square feet there, which actually there's about 12. I thought, man, this building would be perfect. So I called the number. Bert Arnold, who used to be a car dealer guy here in town, and he said, "Oh, you know, no, that's we've leased that." Man, I talk about, Lord, what's going on here? And I thought, well, who did you lease it? Yeah, well, Tony Woolery has leased that building. My eyes lit up because if he's leased that, he's probably going to move. Again, I'm smart. So I quickly called the realtor, and sure enough, Tony had moved or was moving, And that room, that building, that the south end of that building is about 8,000 square feet with a bottom floor and then the top floor is two floors in that. And it would be perfect for us. Plus, he'd spent $25,000 getting it all cleaned up for us. He just didn't know that. I tried to make contact with him a number of times to thank him for that, but I never was able to anyway. So, at any rate, call the realtor, talk to him, and ask him, what is it leased for? And he said, $3,000 a month. Oh, man, my heart went through the floor. No way could we afford that. Bummer. So, this is at about 2.5 years or so, a little more than that, in a year and a half, rather, almost 2 years into our tenure there at North Park Gymnasium. And we are, by that time, we're bursting at the seams. We have no place really for Sunday school except the storage room where we kept the chairs. We'd haul them out, set them up for church, and that's where the kids would go for Sunday school. Have to haul them back, 2.5 years of set up, take down, set up. How many of you have been associated with a Calvary Chapel like that? Yeah. Just about every Calvary Chapel you talk to, the pastor who founded that church will tell you, yeah, that was our story too. I mean, it's just the same everywhere. So at any rate, so where was I? Oh, so clean it all up, $3,000, can't have for that. So about 3 to 4 months, maybe right around there, something like that, my phone rings and it's the realtor. That place had sat empty all this time. Nobody was buying that at that price. And he said, could you afford $1,500 a month? And I said, where do we sign? So we moved, and for 9.5 years, that was our home on First Avenue, 1415 First Avenue North. There are some of you who started coming around that time. Dave and Debbie, Jennifer, Chip, Rick and Kathy, who else? There's some others, yeah. Ray, yeah, just Christy and Rich. And it was a wonderful time, and we continued to see the Lord bless. We remodeled that and turned it into a pretty neat little church building. Had some glorious times there. Just was a wonderful answer to prayer that the Lord brought to us. And so that was our experience for those 9.5 years. And then at 9.5 year point, and we tried to buy that building. I'm surprised. Remember when we did the cookout in the old showroom, Audi, because they had left. And I was surprised that we didn't have the fire department come. We were barbecuing indoors. I'm sharp, I'm telling you. But we opened the door to let some of the smoke out. And I mean, it poured out of there. I mean, it looked like the building was on fire, but nobody came. Probably nobody cared. It's an old building and probably would have served much better use by getting it gone. So anyway, but the Lord had something else in mind and that didn't work out. And it wasn't too terribly long after that that our building sold that we had been leasing for 9.5 years. And a new owner approached us and said, you can stay for 6 months, but we're going to have to raise your rent. By that time, we had gradually over 9.5 years up to where we were paying the $3,000 a month, which was only right at that time. And so the new owner said, you can stay, but only for 6 months. This is like in May of 16 years ago, or so, 13, 14 years ago. And so he says, May of 2006. He says, you can stay, but, I'm going to have to raise your rent. I said, well, what? To what? Well, he said, I'm going to have to charge you $6,000 a month. I guess probably he thought, what does this pastor know? Dumb guy. He just, listen, I've been looking at buildings for 10 years. I know what they charge per square foot. I knew the little formula, how to figure it out. And the square footage that we had, what the going rate was per square foot, didn't add up to $6,000. But the week that we found that out, this is in April, one of the gals that attended at that time was a realtor. And she said, Pastor, there's a building out on 48th Street West. It's the old Shiloh Barn. You ought to go and take a look at it. I remembered it because I think it was about 3 or 4 years before that, we had had a college and career event where the destination was. We met right here. Didn't look anything like this at that time, but it was an event center. There were some people that owned it that were renting the place out for weddings, all kinds of stuff like that. And so we rented it and had our retreat here. We had about 150 college-age kids that were coming at that time from all the churches in town. We had a little thing that we called the Gathering, and it was college kids from everywhere, all across the community. Two people that were coming were Aaron and Jamie at that time. They were single, and Aaron was chasing Jamie. And she was smart enough just to keep enough distance that he couldn't quite get her. But anyway, so that all that was going on. And so I thought at that time, this would be a really cool building for a church building. It would work really cool. But man, you have to pack a lunch to go out there. It's on 48th Street West. It is so, this is, you know, 16 years ago, folks. There was nothing out here at that time. So didn't think any more about it. But that week, she said to us, you ought to check this out. So we came out here, checked it out. And sure enough, it fit the bill. And the cool thing about it, it was right in our price range. It was $425,000 for 10.22 acres. And called Pastor Chuck. And he arranged for us. At that time, our loan is through Cass Bank. A number of those guys are Calvary Chapel guys. The people that we dealt with specifically were Calvary Chapel guys. But the problem was that Cass Bank doesn't deal in anything less than $1 million. But I knew Pastor Chuck, and he knew them, and they knew him. And so he played a great part in us being able to get the loan secured so that we could buy this property. We came out here as a church body. Remember, those of you who were here, we met, prayed, walked all around, went everywhere, did everything we could, prayed about it, and then we took a vote. 100% said, yes, let's do it. So we moved here. That was 14 years ago. On June, the last Sunday of June of that year, Gail Irwin spoke. It was a great Sunday service with Gail Irwin, one of my favorite guys on the planet that I've known for many, many years. And when the service was over, we packed everything and staged it in the sanctuary and in the hallway. And Friday of that week, which would have been the 30th of June, we pulled the trucks up in a big container. We filled those things up, moved them out here on Saturday morning. We brought everything out here and set it all up. Had the container out here on this side. And at that time, the door entry was right behind me. That's where you came in. There was a porch out there, and that's where you came in. And the platform is in the corner. You used to be able to see a little corner there where the platform used to be. And you understand that the restrooms were right off to the platform. So our first Sunday, first few Sundays here, new people would come. And it was not uncommon. It happened several times where somebody had to use the facility. It's pretty obvious where they were going because they had to get up and walk right beside me to get back there. So I would increase the volume while they were there. So play music, something. Anyway, so it wasn't very long. We decided that we had to fix that. And so we knocked the holes in the walls, had a big work day, knocked the holes in the walls, put doors in, turned everything around, built a platform, and to where you see this now. We've done a number of things. The beams, if you look at the back, you see that one beam that goes straight across back there by above the clock that says 11:17. So we're so good. And all the beams were like that. And so my good friend Bill King, who has since gone to be with the Lord, came and helped us put all of this in. Opened it up. It was just neat. It's a good place, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that was another miracle. We moved in and had our first service on July the 2nd. And it was an awesome time to see what the Lord had done. Just a beautiful thing. You know, this is one of the cool miracles that I have to tell you about. It was just, you look for confirmation in circumstances and scripture, green lights that the Lord allows you to see to know you're heading the right direction. And so we met on that first Sunday, the next Saturday, which would have been July the 8th, my wife's birthday. We were, one of the guys owned a big tractor, had a bucket and a blade on it. And they used to have a sandlot volleyball court out here so they could play beach volleyball. And so we needed that for parking. So Brian brought his tractor with this big blade on, and we started leveling that whole area out there. Well, those of you who are around here very much, you know what happens frequently here at the top of this little hill. The wind blows, and it blows out of the southwest primarily. So when it blows this way, it blows into the valley that's down below where Tim and Patty Pinter have a house. I knew who they were because our back patio door looks right down on their property. And so I'd seen their truck or their Jeep out there many times. So I'd seen them wave, that kind of stuff, knew who they were. But we're only a couple of weeks into this, right? So we're brazen dust. I mean, it's like 40 feet high. There's a big cloud going over there. And I was very conscious of that, concerned. And I looked, and here was that that Jeep Cherokee pulling into our parking lot. My first thought was, nuts. I got the neighbors ticked off. They're coming to talk to us. And I was, honestly, with fear and trembling, when they got out of the Jeep, and that abated immediately because I noticed Patty wasn't coming, didn't have a gun, club, anything in her hand. She was carrying a plant. And Tim and Patty came and said, "We just wanted to welcome you to the neighborhood." Is that cool or what? God just lets us know. They've since come to the Lord and become a vital part of our fellowship. You know, just stories like that are just really, really incredible. I'm just so thankful for that. You know, it hasn't been without trials. Hasn't been without challenges. One of the things that I've learned in my 50 years of ministry is that churches breathe. They inhale and they exhale. People come and people go. And we've had people go, we've had people come. We've stayed right around this size for the most part, you know, and I'm thankful for that. I felt like when the Lord told me to come here that He was going to bless this, and I believe that He has. We've planted a couple of churches out of here, the most significant being in Hardin, where Evan and Terry Van Order are now pastoring. They came when we were down below, and I met with them. It took me almost 2 years to convince Evan that he was called, but finally I was able to do that. The Lord revealed to him that was, and he knew there was a call of God upon his life. And so I went out there for 2 years, had a Bible study out there with him for 2 years every week. And then finally I just said to him, "Evan, I'm not going to make this drive anymore. It's all yours." And so he started and had the joy of ordaining him and seeing that church grow and flourish. And they're just doing great. It's just awesome to see that. So that's a part of what has taken place. So there has been difficult times, but there have been blessed times. And I can say beyond shadow of doubt that God has fulfilled His promise. He has blessed. And you are a part of that blessing. Aren't you thankful to be here? I was hoping for a little stronger word. So I thought maybe I'd have a couple stand up and shout anyway. Don't do that now. It's too late. That would be self-serving. So that's good. All right. So chapter 5, the present. What's going on right now? A year ago, last September, I went to a pastor's conference in Oregon, and I drove down with Pastor Ted Etheridge from Calvary Chapel Bozeman. We just had a wonderful time of seeing the back roads of southwest Washington, because we didn't know how to find that silly retreat center up in the mountains in Oregon that nobody thought from Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities to provide us a map, so we were stuck with GPS, and we saw great and wonderful country. It was awesome driving around there. And I grew up in Washington. I didn't even know these places existed down there in the south of Washington. It was just... So anyway, it was a Walla Walla. How many of you heard of Walla Walla, Washington? Yeah, well, it's a great place to be from. So it's interesting. This is kind of a side note. Of course, my high school in Yakima was Davis High School, and we played Walla Walla in sports. And it's quite a center. In fact, there's a Seventh-day Adventist college there, and it's quite a center for Seventh-day Adventists. And the Walla Walla logo mascot is the Blue Devils. I never thought how that was. Anyway, just an aside, not important at all. So, but Ted and I had a wonderful time of fellowship going and coming, shared what was going on in our lives, and all those things. Just, it was really good. Pastor Ted is just a wonderful, godly guy, and I'm so thankful for him. Then, about a year ago or so, I got a call from Pastor Ted, and he wondered if I would be willing to talk about considering having Pastor Kyle and Michelle come and be a part of this fellowship. And so we began to pray about that. We finally met, had phone conversations, and went to another conference in April and met with Kyle and Michelle, just had a delightful time with them, just felt that God was in that. One of the interesting stories about that, I think he's shared this, but it's worth repeating. He'd been feeling for over a year, maybe almost 2 years, that God was calling him to Montana. And he felt like it was to a city that started with B. He was just praying that it wasn't Butte. So at any rate, long story short, he and Michelle are here. And the boys, we're grateful for them. They are here at my invitation and the board's invitation. In the modern terminology, we have vetted them. It's just neat when you meet people who have a same heart, same desire. And one of the things that I've found throughout the Calvaries is that's true. Of most all the guys that I know, we have that heart. There are the two primary things that we are concerned about. We are concerned about worship and the Word. From Pastor Chuck, we learned that our responsibility is to make our people, our sheep, the best-fed sheep that there can be. And you do that by teaching the Word verse by verse, going through it. You don't get to skip any of the hard parts. You have to deal with them. And God's Word, as David says in the 119th, truly is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Amen? So we can trust God's Word. So they are here, as I said, at our invitation for the purpose of one day bringing them on to be senior pastors of Calvary Chapel. That day has arrived. I am telling you today that I am submitting my resignation as pastor of Calvary Chapel. I've talked to my closest friends, talked to my family, and we all agree that it's time. There are seasons that come and go, and that season has come. I can tell you, I've told you this. Retirement has never been a part of my vocabulary. I'm one of those guys, who wanted to die with my boots on, as it were. You know, I thought, well, the way to go would be to say amen and die right here on the platform. Thankfully, that hasn't happened. We did have a guy do that right on our platform. He wasn't preaching, but he was leading worship. Easter Sunday, our last Easter Sunday on 1450 First Avenue North, right during the second service. Guy played the guitar on the worship team, had a AAA heart attack. But God even used that. That's another story. God knows and has his hand in all of those things. So again, as I said, retirement has never been a part of my vocabulary. My plan is to preach till I drop. I will officially retire as senior pastor of Calvary Chapel on March the 1st, this coming year. Pastor Kyle will then take over the reins as senior pastor. But just to let you know, I'm not going anywhere. We are not going anywhere. well, thank you for that, all one of you. what we plan to do is to take some time off the next 4 to 6 weeks after March and April, just to go visit family. I want to visit my sister who lives in Arizona. She's older than I am and up in years and all those kind of things. Yeah, there are some people older than me. Yeah, there's a couple of handfuls of dirt in the parking lot that are. But at any rate, just to visit and take some time off to relax, and then we're going to come back. And we've kind of, as a board, talked about giving me the title of Pastor Emeritus, which is a term that basically means I'll be on staff, but I won't be doing anything. So, and just be available for whatever, to help out where I can, lead worship if we need that, preach occasionally, help Evan out in Hardin, just to be around for an undetermined amount of time. Don't know how long that is, but we'll be here. So just want you to know how much we love you and are grateful for the part that you have played in our lives. And I want to admonish you as your pastor. You've already noticed that we are different people. There are many similarities. Curly hair, shape, similar sense of humor, those kinds of things. But, you know, things do change. That's a part of life. Solomon knew that. Everything, there's a season. But there are two things that will not change. And that's because of the name that's on the side of the building, Calvary Chapel. The preaching of the word, verse by verse, will not change. You've already seen that demonstrated in the times that Pastor Kyle has taught. One of the crazy things that you don't know this, but he and I do, because we sit down and talk about where we are. You've noticed we've just kept right on going through Romans. I preach one Sunday, he picks up where I left off. Same thing at the end of that time. I started looking at his notes. We outline identically. That's freaky. Yeah. I still have to work on him on how to do alliteration, but, you know, I leave that up to the Holy Spirit to lead him and how he wants it. But the outlining looks, this is not an exaggeration. I could literally pick up his notes and preach from them, because we have at times looked at each and said, where did you get that from? I got the same thing. I mean, it's just, you know, all those kinds of things. So I am grateful for them. The thing that I'm the most grateful for in Kyle and Michelle that I see is their heart for the Lord and their heart for the Word. And I commend them to you in that respect. They will be good pastors to you. And as I said, trust them with that. There'll be some things changed because we do ministry different. There are different things, parts that are interchangeable, parts that are different. Understand all that. But the basic essentials. And I believe the reason that you are here is because you want to hear the Word of God taught verse by verse. And that's not going to change. That will not change. His commitment to the Word of God is strong. And I appreciate that. If that wasn't the case, he wouldn't be here. Trust me, I wouldn't do that. But God has saw to it to bring them. And they can tell you the story as they take up this responsibility of how God has brought them here. We can just see, as we've compared notes, many, many things that led them to be here. So my charge to you today is that you support him as you have supported us, and even in a greater way, even more so. That's not a complaint. It's just an encouragement. I've been treated well. We have been treated well. You have blessed us immeasurably over and over. Some with a few trials, but nonetheless blessings. I'm just joking. We're people, and we have our stuff. I have mine, you have yours. But we are, first of all and foremost, God's children. And we can live together in peace and harmony because that's what he's called us to do, to be people who love one another. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
So we love you all. This has been a process that I've been going through for almost a couple of years now. It's always been my desire to raise somebody up out of the fellowship to take my place. There have been several that I thought might possibly be those people, but the Lord had a different thing in mind, and I'm grateful for that. But Kyle and Michelle came here willing to spend time working a secular job to just be a part of this fellowship so that they would know what was going on. That doesn't mean that there won't be some things that will be different, but they are a part of this. And you, I commend you, dear brothers and sisters. You have welcomed them wholeheartedly, and I appreciate that about you. And I urge you and charge you to continue to do that. Again, we love you so much. It has been our joy to be the pastor of Calvary Chapel for these last 25 years. It's been a huge time for us. And I'm not quitting. I'm just finishing. And I'm praying that the Lord helps me to finish well. We're just moving on to another chapter. That chapter has not been written. We have just turned the page. And we are going to start writing new things about our lives and what God is going to do for us. And so I'm excited about that. As I said, we're not going anywhere anytime soon. Shape up.
We love you too.
Thanks. Thanks, Ricky. But anyway, that's where we are. That's looking back and looking forward today. We're trusting God to continue to bless this church, that it will continue to be a light in this community. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mercy and your grace to us today. Thank you, Lord, that you keep us, you lead us, you guide us. We all have, Lord, that Ebenezer stone that we go and find and read written there. Hitherto has the Lord helped us.
And I'm thankful, Lord, that we can return to that stone again and again and again in our lives and be reminded of your grace and of your mercy and your help. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you have done and for what you will continue to do through Calvary Chapel Billings and the people that make up this fellowship. I bless them and thank you for them. I give you all the praise for all of these years and for the many, many blessings, Lord. Praise you. Thank you for answers to prayer. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
Amen.